With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Hey everyone, and welcome to RPG From Scratch, design episode number 60. I am your host, Josh LaForge, and with me today is Liam.
Put your finger in my nose.
And Max.
I wouldn't do that.
We got a couple things to go over today. By the time you're listening to this, the submission form for McGargle's compendium of wondrous and wacky items will have launched, whereas it's going to become a web document of our favorite listener submissions of magical or mechanical artifacts. The person maintaining these is going to be Max.
Yes.
And he's going to see all your submissions. So, they're not restricted. Just submit as many as you want and that you want Max to read. But he's going to pick his favorites and he's going to read them on air. And then when we actually put together the compendium as an online document, this will be something that's open to everybody because you are all contributing to it. Think of it like an open source thing.
Yeah.
You're all contributing to it, and we'll pick our favorites as maintainers and put them in there and try to credit you wherever possible. So one of the fields in the document is which adventurer originally found this item. That's you. So make sure that it's some way creditable to you.
You need to put that in parentheses on the document.
I should do that, yeah. Okay.
Because I did not understand that.
That will be changed by the time that you guys hear this. So
we use naughty names.
That's true.
No, yeah. Also, I wanted to use people from our lore that we already used. That was my immediate reaction to do that.
Like, is that why yours was penis?
Yes.
Okay.
See, mine at least had a use.
Mine has a great use. I don't know what you're talking about.
First topic today is that we made a change to Death and Dying that we've introduced called the Death Score, where is instead of losing 5 momentum every round that you are unconscious and dying, you gain 5 Death Score, and if your Death Score equals your momentum, you die permanently. It's much lower risk than losing the momentum, because losing momentum is actually is losing momentum in multiple versions of the term. And we don't really want to do that because we think that the traumas you experience and you have to carry with you and cure are probably a suitable punishment. However, if you fall down and you gain 36 death score, you pop back up and then somebody knocks you down the same round, do you go back to zero?
No, definitely not. You keep that death score.
Yeah. How long should it take for death score to fall off? Would it fall off all at once? Would it fade over time? Would it fade every round?
I would think every day.
I think round is a fun mechanical thing, but I think every day makes more sense.
I think every day should be the base, and then I think we should look at rituals and potential abilities in paths to make that better. Where one of them is just... There could be an ability in Radiance or a ritual that you could do with somewhere where you shrug off your death score at an accelerated rate or faster, or even just you do a ritual and you lose 15 death score. Or by participating in this ritual, you are less in the grasp of death.
What if it's instead of that, you do the ritual? Because I think this makes more sense from a ritualistic standpoint, is that you don't heal immediately, but you've been given some vigor. So the idea is that you may treat your death score as though your momentum were 15 higher.
Ooh, I like that.
Right? Because when that falls off, you're like, okay, I'm out of danger. That was a temporary boost, without changing your real numbers.
It feels like the Princess Bride, It's not
it's just buying you time. Yeah.
First of all, tell me how you feel. Ooh, this is a tough one. Should your death score fall by the same amount per day as it gains per round of you dying? I feel like that actually sounds fair and realistic and dangerous.
I think it should be depending on the situation in which... I think you need to rest.
Yeah.
I don't think you
resting
can...
You can't just be awake for 24 hours.
The death score is going away. But I think there should be maybe not even hard modifiers, but loose modifiers where, if you're camping out in the woods, you rest. What is it? 5 per round?
It's 5 per round.
5 per round. You can do that even camping. If you are in a well-stocked inn, I think you wake up the next day and you feel better.
How about it's just for every hour spent resting? you way like lose that. One death score. So that way you could lose 8 in a night.
Mm-hmm.
Or you could be like, he's gonna join us this evening after he's rested up. Yeah. You know,
I still think
because your traumas persist.
Yeah, but I think the amount of care or the facilities that you are resting in mm-hmm. should have an effect. But it shouldn't be like double.
Here's the thing. I think they shouldn't, but not because the idea is bad. Because I think we have two competing mechanics here.
Mm-hmm.
We have your traumas that you gain for going unconscious, right? And those are massively affected by the facilities and the care that you get. You know what I mean? And death score is just kind of like you're playing it death score is like if you keep falling down like this, man, you're a dead man. Yeah. Like it's just you're
right.
It's open to debate. This is
the every hour thing I think works for me, because also
it's clean.
One, it's clean, and then two, you can just say, like, if you were at the end of an adventure, you just get to go. And then I go home, and then sleep and rest for as long as necessary. Because that is a thing that you would do.
Absolutely. It's something you can't really do in a dungeon. But if you're like, our job is over, you get 2 weeks before the queen shows back up, your death score's gone. Like, portion of the adventure is complete. Your trauma may persist.
You don't go back to work, well, ideally. You don't go back to work after surgery immediately. You don't do that. You hang out.
Yeah, your traumas may persist because they are traumas. And
we roll for night terrors.
So that way you can't rest.
Yeah.
Yeah, because one of the things I've noticed with our game is that because there's no limit to healing, like, the healer's not going to run out of heals, ever. But it's action economy of, like, is that the best thing I should be doing right now?
Or even, can you keep up with the amount of damage the enemy is doing?
But as a result, damage is spikier.
Yeah.
And the more healers you have, the more likely you can keep people from gaining death score, because everybody heals from zero.
Can there be a monster that just stops you from sleeping?
Yeah, they're called children.
Yeah, I know. But, I mean, like...
Really? Because I don't even have those, and I have trouble sleeping all the time.
Oh, boy. Have I got bad news?
It would change nothing.
Just mean like a lingering effect. Like you beat a monster and then you're like, all right, let's rest. And then you get hit by the monster and you can't sleep for the next 48 hours.
That's a monster. We can definitely do that. Okay. I like this. We'll talk about death score probably some more a little bit later. But I like this as a placeholder. We need to get in the weeds on that, I think, a little bit. One of the problems with our game is that nobody's really died. And this has happened before. Anytime anybody's dropped to zero, it was before we instituted traumas. So we need to do a lot of testing on that. But our damage is spiky, and people drop, so you need to really be on your game. But I don't know. I think I kind of like that, as like death score is something you really need to... If it gets high, you need to be worried, because dropping for one round after you had a horrible fight the previous one matters. And people need to get you up as quickly as possible. Yeah. That's a big deal. Okay, the next one is kind of loose. I'm going to go back to... it's been a while since we've touched paths.
Mm-hmm.
A couple of years, right? Because COVID.
Fuck.
I know. But Radiance...
I don't know what you're talking about. It's 2020.
I assure you that it is not. Step 3, Radiance, is pretty light, and that is not a pun. All they have in Step 3 Radiance, which we thought was enough at the time, but now I'm realizing that it's so minimal, you may just never choose to continue down Radiance because of this one step, and it should never feel that way. So all they get, it's great. They have a great ability, but all they get is Cleansing Light, and it's a move action. It's at will. Choose to remove either a boon or a bane from a single target. You remove the most recent one applied to the target, and this can be used to purify food and drink of poison or contaminants and make it safe for consumption. Great ability.
I like the fact that secondary effect isn't its own ability, because it doesn't need to be.
Cleansing Light. So you can remove a boon from an enemy or a bane from an ally.
And this is the step before the multi... Or no, that was Zealotry.
Right? Yes. Yeah. Zealotry gets Virtues at step 6.
Okay. And this is step 5.
This is step Radiance? 3 Radiance.
Okay.
So for comparison... Step 2...
I think we need to know what's in 4 and 2.
Okay, so 2, they get Radiant Overflow, where it's a feature. Critical hits against enemies grant you shielding equal to double your composure, just passively.
Yeah.
What about the opposite of Phalanx? You make someone radioactive. Anyone near them takes negatives.
That's fun. I like that. let's go. I'm going to finish step two radiance, okay, but no, keep that that on deck. I like that. Heaven's Favor, it is a daily attack, adjacent blast 2, and it is spontaneous sunbeams break the gloom of combat, illuminating both you and your allies. Effect is you as well as allies within the blast regain your composure as hit points. Oof. And a boon is applied where all of your heals until the end of the encounter grant additional hit points equal to your composure. It grants a bane to enemies. Affected enemies are weakened until the end of your next turn. And it does a lot of damage.
Tight. That's great.
It's great, right?
Yeah.
And now, even though step three is an awesome ability you will use constantly, it's a little zazz missing from it, right? Like, this is... Oh, but step four then. Okay, so what follows step three? Interference. Light blooms around your chosen target, blessing them with a divine aura that wards off attackers. It grants a boon. This is a... swift action. To an adjacent ally. Enemies attacking the subject of this boon must succeed on a composure check against your composure defense to target that ally with attacks. Area attacks are unaffected unless they are the only target within the area, and the subject cannot grant the upper hand to allies from flanking while the boon's active, but if the subject attacks or uses abilities that directly negatively affect enemies, the boon ends. It's basically just, this guy's a non-combatant.
Mm-hmm.
If you want to attack him, you talk to me. Like, really, that's what it is. And Prismatic Form, which is a move action, but it's a daily, and it's yourself. It's like Mirror Image in D&D and Pathfinder, where you split into six identical versions of yourself and occupy all of their perspective at once.
God. The Howards.
Okay. I like Max's idea of, like, sort of anti-phalanx.
All right, let's think
only
about that.
I would rather than make it a new ability, I want it to improve upon an ability that already exists.
Well, it can't improve upon shielding because that's a core ability that they could never
that they potentially don't necessarily never get. Need. Yeah.
I don't think we have a lot of buffs specifically. We could create it as a buff, and it could apply to anybody. Maybe as an attack action.
Again, rather than it be a separate ability, I think it Radiant Lance or what's the step one basic?
Dazzling Ray.
Mm-hmm. Let's put something on Dazzling Ray where after you've been affected by Dazzling Ray, for the turn after, enemies adjacent to you take a bane.
Okay.
For anyone affected by Dazzling Ray.
What if it's less of a bane? Because like the only times I want to use banes are when the ability that's attaching them to is not adding a lot of mental load for the GM.
Okay.
Right? And Dazzling Ray is, you could spam it every turn, right?
Yeah.
What if it's something that imbues somebody who had it as a boon, so that way it's the player's
responsibility.
Exactly. Successful attacks deal more damage. That's not bad, right?
What if you become an area of effect? Like, you're a glowing one.
I like that, too. You mean, like, everybody affected by it?
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Maybe just a...
Like a dirty bomb.
Just like a one hex, sort of like Death Shadow, but only for one turn. So if they're right directly next to him, there's an AoE effect from everyone affected, but only on the your allies.
I think that's good. The problem is it will result in way too much damage if that person's spamming. It doesn't matter what the baseline is. It's too much.
Mm-hmm.
But I that's cool. I think that's why when Max, when you said radioactive, I was thinking the same thing. Yeah. But the extra damage on attacks
is already is easier because they can miss.
That's true. And it's on them as well. Again, it doesn't create a zone of denial, which Dazzling Ray probably shouldn't for its utility, right? But do we grant it to everybody hit by it, or do we allow them to pick one within the path?
I was going to say first or last, their ability to pick the one I like more.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, one ally in Ray gets...
additional damage equal to your composure.
Yeah.
Can we add? Oh, I wanted to say like, and that that extra damage is returned to them as healing, but I feel like that's too much.
That's way too much.
But there should be some kind of. What if it's returned to you as healing?
I like that.
Because if you're not getting hit, not a big deal.
Mm-hmm. But it could just be throwing something on. Just but
if you're
in case.
If you're a tank who's core citadel, the rest radiance. This is your bread and butter.
Yeah, or just even a situation of. The amount of times we're like, oh, I'm one or two down because I got splashed.
Mm-hmm.
Dope. I don't have to even worry about it. Mm-hmm. Like, whatever. No big deal.
Only lasts for one round?
Yes. Yeah. Because you can do it every round. It should only last
until
one round.
The end of that character's next turn.
Yes.
So not even a full round. Because if they go next and they use it, it's gone. Or even if they don't use it, it's gone after the turn ends.
After the mm-hmm. Yeah. And whether they attack or just move. Yeah.
Okay. It's almost like you're imbuing their weapon with the radiance.
Yeah, but you get to pick anybody in the past.
Oh, I don't think it should be weapon. I think it should, like, magical attacks, I think, should count too.
Oh, mm-hmm. What if it's, wait, what if it's any target, including the enemy? So if you're thinking, like, they're going to hit anyway.
I'm going to get a bunch of health.
Yeah, but only my composure. Mm-hmm. And it doesn't bypass armor. So if you're like, these guys hit very little, I'm going to give him a little zing on it, and he's going to hit our tank. I think that situation will not happen. Yeah. Like statistically will not happen. But
allowing it to happen is kind of fun.
It's kind of fun. Like,
kind of cannibalize your own party.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You could. There's a lot of games where you do that. Where, like,
death cannibalizes yourself.
Yeah. But there's just a bunch of games where, like, at half health, a bunch of classes or abilities or even weapons do explosive damage. So you're kind of purposefully making sure your damage dealer is, like, getting bloodied.
Yeah, I've got some nasty shit cooking up for death when we get to it.
I just like the idea of radiation. Just, like,
yeah, I agree.
Everyone involved is just, nope, this is not good.
Okay, so successful attacks until the end of that character's next turn. That means if they get opportunity,
yep.
All of them that hit.
If you're looking for plump lips that last, you need to know about Juvederm lip fillers. With Juvederm Volbella XC and Juvederm Ultra XC, your lip look, whether it's subtle or bold, can last up to 1 full year with optimal treatment and no additional maintenance. Find a licensed specialist and see if it's right for you at Juvederm.com today. That's Juvederm.com. Add fullness to lips in adults over 21 with Juvederm Volbella XC or Juvederm Ultra XC. Do not use if you have severe allergies or a history of severe allergic reactions, or if you're allergic to lidocaine or the proteins used in Juvederm. Tell your doctor if you have a history of scarring or taking medicines that decrease the body's immune response or that can prolong bleeding. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. As with all fillers, there's a rare risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. For full, important safety information, visit Juvederm.com.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Do it. What about AoE? Do they have to pick a target? Or do you just let it all...
I think the way we do AoE right now, AoE damage always...
Yeah.
Like, it doesn't get bonuses already.
So just single target attacks.
Well, I'm saying I think you can pick AoE targets because a lot of those bonuses, the way that we use them now, they don't get applied those bonuses.
All I'm saying is if I say all of your attacks gain my composure and then you hit 15 targets and they all take an extra 6 damage, that's enormous.
Only they don't, because the way that we word any splash damage right now is you do an attack, it has a single target, it does this, and then it has a secondary damage that is its own thing.
Except for, I think, death.
Yes.
I think we'll just say all targeted attacks. If you have a targeted creature, it'll that damage works. On that does it, right? All targeted attacks.
Yeah. Well, then what doesn't?
Shadow of Death.
That's not an attack.
Oh, you're right. That's not an attack. Flaming Pillar, you can target an area, you know?
You target one creature and then there's splash.
It doesn't say you have to target the creature. Can you target a spot? I
think you have to.
Okay. Well, let's include it just in case.
If you didn't, you'd be an idiot. It does way more damage.
Right. But I think we should probably word it in a way that only applies to targeted attacks, because I think fire, there's no reason to limit it later steps, right? Like, later on, we could be like, you make a room explode, you know? Yeah. Like, an area, a cube, just is filled with flame.
You're wearing armor. That was a bad idea.
Like, you exist here. Bad idea.
All right, what do we call that? I like the radioactive flavor on that. I'm trying to see. We don't really have...
Bestowed grace.
Grace. It's extra damage that, like, links back to you.
Siphon, but not in a bad way.
Yeah, that's like death, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's something you're bestowing, right? And it returns to you. You're bestowing a boon on an ally that helps you as well.
So it's like a boonerang.
Boonerang. I like that. I'm not going to use it, but I like it.
I'm going to now call it boonerang.
I'm going to go to rhyme zone real quick. Solar, cosmic, ultraviolet, thermal, scattered, nuclear, kind of like nuclear, but not for this. We should use nuclear later for that. How about we detach it from Dazzling Ray and make it for any heal?
Okay.
Because you're going to do one of them, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. And it doesn't. And if you can, if we can already put it on Dazzling Ray, fuck it. Put it on your daily too. Why not? Who cares?
Right. Yeah. It might be too much. That might be a reason to care. Maybe half your composure will be appropriate later because you could do it every turn, but we'll figure it out.
Again, I'd rather.
Buff healers.
I'd rather have healers be too good and still underrepresented in the population than have them be normal and nobody wants to play them.
Pelvic is in here. It's in the list between light and therapeutic. Corpuscular.
What is a gift you receive from clergy? That isn't a crime.
Wine. I like the word pulse.
Oh, sacrament.
Sacrament's cool. I kind of like pulse because of the temporary nature of this gift, right?
Sacramental pulse.
Sacrament implies they're getting something sacred, which isn't bad, but I feel like that you need a bigger gift, right? You basically have irradiated them. You filled them with energy, and it's coming out of them.
Plutonian.
No, because plutonian means death-like. Like death,
yeah.
Yeah.
Because it has to do with Pluto more than the element. Shimmering gift.
When you bombard... saturate. When you, right? Like saturating heals? Irradiate, something like that?
Saturate.
Irradiate and saturate, I both like for the same reason. I feel like irradiate has a very negative thing, even though they both mean the same thing in this context, right?
Mm-hmm. They have a blinding ability?
Not yet, but that's going to happen.
I mean, if they spec into Scoundrel,
I was thinking something like Hiroshima.
Double pocket sand.
Where you just blind an enemy for everyone for a turn?
No. Can we have as few references to nuclear holocaust as possible, please?
We should ride the line.
Except for the band Nuclear Holocaust.
Let's ride the line a little bit here.
Einstein's gift bag. Atomic assistance.
Glowing largesse.
What's largesse mean?
Largesse is you're distributing your abundance to other people.
Glowing harvest. I don't know. It just...
Incandescent I like as well. But I think incandescent gift or like, you know, like that kind of... Yeah.
Actually, incandescent gift might be my favorite right now.
Shining gift? Shining implies like polish.
No, incandescent gift is now my number one. That's my top pick for the draft thus far.
Incandescence.
I like it.
Because it implies like incandescent bulbs get very hot.
Yes.
And they give off light. Incandescence.
Yep. Cut. Print.
All right, we got it.
Boom.
As a recap, incandescence, it's a feature. Yeah, once a turn, whenever you use a healing ability that affects one or more allies, you may choose an ally affected by it. That ally gains a bonus to their damage rolls for targeted attacks until the end of their next turn, equal to your composure. The first time this bonus is applied as damage, it returns to your hit points as healing.
Yes.
Incandescence and Cleansing Light.
Yeah.
I like both of those.
That's a good twofer, too.
I think that's a good step three.
That increases specific healing, party damage, and just such a good utility.
Agreed. And also, I kind of like the idea that it's only the first time it hits every turn.
Yeah.
That you get the healing, but it applies until the end of their next turn.
Yeah. They get the damage bonus more. The damage bonus is more important in the eyes of the ability.
Yes. Okay. I like that. We got one more thing to talk about.
Welcome to Liam's GM Corner. And, here I want to talk about some problems that the GMs face. And the one that I want to talk about today is, hey, you ever been running a game and it's kind of a sandbox game and your players are running around the world willy-nilly. And then at some point you realize as a GM or as a player that you have 15 to 20 unfinished tasks that have just been building up in your journal. And you kind of either lose track of them or you kind of don't know how to finish one, or you realize they're going to start interacting with each other in ways that you don't want to deal with, that nobody wants to deal with. Mm-hmm. So my question to you, GMs, is how do you clean up your party's quest log?
That's a good question. I think there's a bunch of ways. I usually just find a bullshit reason for it to matter, and then they will deal with it at the same time. Sometimes that works. Sometimes it doesn't.
I haven't come across it, but I would think a letter from one of the people that they promised to help. Like, hey, I guess you couldn't help us out. You know, just really make them feel bad. Someone they've interacted with. Just make it a little bit of flavor. Remind them.
Or just there's a news report of like, oh, yeah, that whole town is gone.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You should probably investigate that as well. Yeah. And you might find out the reason I made that as a quest.
Their children were missing and then they all went missing and no one knows.
Yeah. Usually I think I would just try to find a way to reintroduce it as being important, such as like somebody shows up to help them and helps them with their current quest. And they'll be like, why did you help us? He's like, well, I was hoping you might help me. I don't know if you heard, but there's this big problem. Like, oh, we did hear about that. Yeah, we did.
Just that was like 6 sessions ago, even though it was hard. It was 2 days ago, but it was 6 sessions ago. And oh no.
It's like the land can be saved. We just need to return the mummy's dagger. And you're like looking through your bag. You're like, oh, we've had that for months.
No. Like
we sold that for booze. Yeah. We got to go on a quest to retrieve who that was sold to.
So just making it part of the story, I think.
That's, I think, the way to get back to it. I think the real way to avoid, like, the trick
of avoiding that
avoiding it's the real answer, the mature GM thing. But like, look, you fuck up. Like, we all fuck up. I have often GM'd where my players would be like, wow, that's crazy. I can't wait to see what that has to do with this other thing that I as the GM completely forgot about. I'd be like, oh, yeah, me neither. I think there's like a famous post about that. Are you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, I do.
I did find this funny one about magic swords. Have you heard of this?
No.
It basically is like the fewer words a magic sword's name has, the more dangerous it is. This is like, don't get me wrong, you don't want to be hit by Lord Gratunga's beastly magical flame sword of doom, but you definitely don't want to be hit by something called the Throngler.
Or Orphan's Bane.
Yeah.
Especially if you're an orphan.
I can't find it, but so the premise is this guy they were really far along in their campaign, and then he describes a landscape in a flashback, and he's like, it's a beautiful mountain.
And they had gone back in time.
Yeah, well, this is a flashback, and they're like, whoa, that is really interesting. He's like, yeah, I can't wait to see where that mountain went in that time. And he's like, just freaking out. Like, oh, no, there wasn't a mountain there originally.
How do I get rid of a mountain? It's not like there's mountain parts all over the valley. You know, like, nope.
It was a spaceship. Look, I just answered it for you. It was a spaceship.
It was a mimic. It was a big mountain mimic.
Look, just retell the story of the movie Spriggan.
It's a good one.
Can you imagine that?
There's a TV show coming out.
I know, on Netflix.
Like a whole...
I hope it's good.
A whole city around the foot of a mountain, and then one day the mountain just gets up and walks away.
Oh, it'd be chaos.
Well, the whole thing is, it would be chaos until he's like, oh, late for work.
Yeah.
And then just doesn't do anything bad. Mm-hmm. Like, he's like, what?
Houses would flip over and shit.
No. He very gingerly does it, so nothing bad happens. He likes the city. He likes that they're in its shadow. He likes looking at the lights and hearing the music.
So your options, if this happens to you, are bullshit away for these things to matter in the current problem, or talk to your party and remind them that those things are there. Out of character.
Yeah.
Just, hey, you should know that your characters would still be aware that time has passed since this has happened. Yes. Another thing is you can ask them to keep notes, which is, it's a big deal. Like, it helps when your party keeps notes.
An idea that comes in my head is, like, just, I'm more of a story person, would be creating a new story about the heroes that solve the problem and everyone loves them and all the prizes and rewards they got. And you're like, wasn't that on our to-do list?
Like, that's really good.
Yeah.
I would say you should keep good notes as a GM. And there's a tool I've been using for a long time now, for several months now.
Raid Shadow Legends?
It's called...
I'd like to introduce you to our sponsor.
It's called Volcanic Glass.
It is. It's literally called Obsidian. And many of you have heard of it. But it basically allows you to create a wiki of anything in real time using the Markdown format language. It is invaluable for a GM and for players if that's how you're taking notes.
Josh, can you do me a favor and edit out the name of the game that Max said, because I do not want to give them any free publicity in any way.
I'm not putting in Raid Shadow Legends.
Yeah. Good. Fuck them.
I don't know anything about them.
They're bad. They're bad people.
Jack and Daxter.
No, that's a good game. I like that all game.
Cool. So replace Raid Shadow Legends with Jack and
Daxter. Yeah, let's get a clear cut of that. Jack and Daxter.
It won't make any sense. Raid Shadow Legends is a meme. Like, NordVPN. That's the other one.
MeUndies.
Audible.com.
Oh, that's
Sherry's berries.
that green junk that they say has all the vitamins and minerals that you need, but it really doesn't.
So, Obsidian allows you to create a wiki. There's a bunch of tools that allow you to do this. Obsidian is proprietary, but I love it. It's so good. There are similar things that if you don't need, like, the advanced features of Obsidian, like sync or anything like that. There's an open source alternative to Obsidian that does the same thing. I think you still use Markdown language. It's called Foam. You can check it out, like FOAM.
I was going to ask you to spell it. Thank you.
Yes. However, Obsidian has an enormous suite of plugins that you can use, including ones that allow you to create stat blocks for monsters, specifically for Pathfinder and D&D. And they'll allow you to reference, like you can literally type in like a little blurb that will reference specific monsters from Dungeons & Dragons and pull up their stat block in your notes without you having to actually write everything out yourself.
Let's say you type in, like, you're writing about Dorkin's Dagger. Yeah. It'll link to every ever reference you've ever written about Dorkin's Dagger, right?
Yeah. So what you would do is you would just the square brackets on your keyboard, right?
You keep saying these. I'm just trying to use a little more mainstream language.
Yeah. So let's say you write something out, like some notes about your campaign or something, and you're noticing that you're writing names of things in your campaign. You can highlight any word in your Obsidian document that you've created here and just put square brackets around it, and it will create a link to any other time that you've mentioned that, essentially. And if you click on that, it'll create its own note where you can add a note, and every time that name gets mentioned and you leave it as a link, it will reference back to there. And that allows you to create a literal web of not just the texture of your world and your world building, but also your plans for the future and how they relate to each other. It makes it so much easier not to get lost. And I love Obsidian. I know it's proprietary. People may have objections to that. However, it's really great, and the community is unbelievable. Please check it out if you're a GM. It's one of the best things I've ever used. If you're opposed to using proprietary software, even though it's free for the average user, check out Foam. It's very similar. It just doesn't have the advanced syncing technologies between multiple devices that Obsidian has. However, both of them, including Obsidian, save just text files to your hard drive in the folder of your choosing. That's what the entire thing runs off of. So if you want to sync your Foam across multiple devices, you can just
transfer the text files.
Yeah, and keep that somewhere that you've synced using some other service or even your home server.
Like, for instance, Google Drive. Also, Google Drive, please set us up.
But this is a fantastic tool, and it's a fantastic kind of tool that, because of Obsidian's popularity, is going to become more common from other vendors as well, and I highly recommend everybody get used to using something like this. It's incredible. But anyway, that's my rant on Obsidian. It will help you avoid these loopback mistakes in the future. Everything in your life, not just GMing.
Also, I want to thank everyone for the advice they gave, but you were all incorrect. The actual answer is give all of your players amnesia and throw away their entire quest log. Thank you. And good night.
You rocks fall, everybody dies, and they have to create characters that care about the things you care about as GM.
There we go.
And that's how you get your players back
as
on track.
As a GM, if you're not giving your players amnesia at least every other session, you
should
quit.
What are you even doing?
That's why we included it as a trauma.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's why R2-D2 is the best Star Wars character.
What I like to do is like a total party kill.
Uh-huh.
And then
a TPK,
say,
yeah.
Oh, that was just a dream sequence.
Mm.
You know.
Well, you're in a coma because this whole thing has been a giant setup for me to recreate the roleplay version of While You Were Sleeping.
Oh.
That sounds like a Doug Banks joint, and I would love that.
What if you make your party have a dream of spiders, and then when they wake up, spiders start coming out of them?
They are spiders.
Oh,
we were spiders.
Oh, man.
All right, the name of the game.
Spiders are coming
from
within
spiders.
In the house. And then John, you are the demons. And
we were spiders is my
John was a zombie.
Is my screamo band name.
We're making too many references now. I'm gonna close this shit up. We're done. This is the end of the podcast.
It's late, we're loopy.
This episode is over.
We were spiders once and young.
Oh god, write that down.
Yeah.
Thank you, everybody, for listening, as always. If you have comments or suggestions, check us out on Patreon. Our Patreon is patreon.com/RPGFS. Our $2 patrons can find us on the Omniverse Discord. We're trying to be more active there. It's really cool. It's a huge community.
At me, bro. Like, literally at me.
Literally at us.
At me. I will talk to you.
Mm-hmm. And on Twitter, we are at Homebrew Umbres. Facebook, we are at facebook.com/RPGFS. Oh, and if you're listening to this, we released a free game. It's called The Spill, and it's great. It's on our Patreon. It's free for anybody who checks it out, look for The Spill. It's awesome. PDF, print it out. Get a block tower like Jenga or other similar jumbling tower games. Play it with your friends.
If you yell at us enough, we'll play it on stream or in a video or in a podcast form. Yell at us to play it. Mm-hmm. Do it. I dare mm-hmm. you.
Or stream yourself playing it. We're into it. It's free. It's yours. Do whatever you want with it.
If you like Rick Baker, like to watch. You'll like it.
Mm-hmm. What's that?
We said like. If you like Rick Baker, you'll like it.
And until next time, stay safe, stand watch, get a full rest.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.